All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. 1 John, chapter 1. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack right in front of you. You may feel free to use it. But you ought to follow along in the Bible. Make sure I'm saying what's right. All right. First John chapter 1. All right, let's begin in verse 1. We'll read the whole chapter. It's only 10 verses long, but you follow along as I read. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may be able to have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Man, that is a powerful verse. I'm going to harp on that in a little bit. Verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." And I want to speak to you this morning from this first chapter, and I want to entitle my message this morning, Fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship with the Lord. All right, let's pray, and then the message. Now, our Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to open your eternal word. Father, I pray that you will bless now as we look at this first chapter of 1 John, and I just pray that, Father, you will instruct and guide and teach us and give us understanding of what we're about to hear. And Father, we thank you for the word. We know that the word of God is what gives light and life. And so, Father, use your word today to stir our hearts and to stir our souls and to help us understand the matter of fellowship with you. And Father, may it burn in our soul today, and we'll rejoice and thank you for what you do for us now. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen. As you are aware, there are 66 books, and of course you remember that 6 is the number of man, so there are 66 books in the Bible, and each one of these 66 books has a special theme. There is something overall that individual book is showing or is speaking about. The theme for the Apostle John's first epistle is the matter of fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship with God, and when we have fellowship with God, then we have fellowship one with another. All right, so the first epistle general of John, that's what is the title of this book. A pastor was speaking on a Sunday evening, and he rhetorically asked the congregation, what is an epistle? Well, when he asked that, there was a little guy sitting down front, little boy, and he threw his hand up real quick and kind of startled the pastor. It was a rhetorical question, but this little boy threw his hand up like he had an answer for the question. And so the pastor stopped and looked at him and said, okay, son, I see your hand right there. Can you answer that question? He said, yes, I can. He said, the epistles are the wives of the apostles. All right, he said, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. See, you all learned something this morning. It's worth coming to church just to learn that, wasn't it? That's not true, but nonetheless, it's comical. Now, there might have been a little breakdown in communication there somewhere, but anyway, this is the first epistle that John wrote. He wrote the Gospel of John, and then he wrote three epistles, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, then he wrote the book of the Revelation, five books altogether attributed to John. Now, this word, fellowship, is a word that I'm sure all of us are very familiar with. Everyone enjoys fellowship with others. Everyone does. The English poet and preacher, John Donne, some of you who have studied English writings and all that, you may be familiar with this fella. But anyway, he wrote a book that it was a book of prose in 1624. And he entitled his book, his work, Devotions Upon Emergent Occasions. Now, boy, that would make me want to read it, wouldn't it, you? Huh? Be honest. Anyway, there was a statement in there that I know all of you have heard. So this is a famous, very famous statement that was made in this little work that John Donne did. And it's called, the statement is, no man is an island. You've heard that, haven't you? No man is an island. In other words, we like to be around others. We like to know other people. No man's an island. You don't like the idea of being stranded out in the middle of the ocean on a little island. All right? So no man is an island. You and I want others around us. We are all better off when we have fellowship in our lives with other people. And when we have friends or we have family that we can talk to. Now, you will remember when God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, we are told that God saw Adam and said, it is not good for man to be alone. So God created woman and gave her to him to be his companion, his wife. You hear that little word, companion, all right? Fellowship. God saw that Adam needed a companion, someone to love, and someone who would love him, someone to talk to and to share his life with. So God created Eve to be his helpmeet. His helpmeet, that's how God defines it. Now, if you'll look, please, at verse 7 of this first chapter, you will see here that that the word fellowship is clearly demonstrated. It's clearly spelled out. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, in Noah Webster's dictionary of 1828, Noah Webster was the original Webster's dictionary, all right? And Mr. Noah took his definitions out of the Bible, all right? He took his definitions out of the Bible. So if you'd ever like to study words in English, the English language and where the words came from and Bible definitions for the words, you should get Webster's dictionary, Noah Webster, not Daniel, all right? Daniel was his brother. He was a lawyer and a statesman, but Noah was a wordsmith. And he loved studying the scriptures and getting definitions for words out of the Bible. So he tells us in his dictionary of 1828, he tells us that fellowship is companionship. Companionship. I don't remember exactly where I heard this little word association for the matter of fellowship, but I like to think of fellowship as two fellas in a ship. All right, that makes good sense, doesn't it? When you stop and think about it, I remember when I was a kid, my dad got a good deal from some guy he worked with on a little John boat with a Evan Rude little motor that went on the back of it. And so he bought that, and he would take us around to some of the lakes in West Virginia. We went to Sutton Lake, and we went to Sherwood Lake, a bunch of places. And my dad would put the boat in, and we'd go out and tie off in a tree somewhere on that lake along the shore, and we would fish. And so there's three of us in that boat. My brother, I kept asking my dad if I could throw him out, and my dad wouldn't let me, but I wanted to. But anyway, we were three of us in that ship, in that little boat, little John boat. And we had a time in that thing. And the greatest adventure we had was when this great big water snake fell out of the tree, and half of it went over into the water, the business part, all right, the head. And then the back of it was laying across my brother's lap, and he almost went swimming then of his own volition. But anyway, we had some great adventures in that. And today we still talk about some of those times where we were three guys in a boat. We were three guys in a ship. That's fellowship, folks. And so in my mind, that's how I always see the word. Now, fellowship with one another is important. But this little book of 1 John is telling us that we can have fellowship with God Almighty. You see, that's 10,000 times better than having fellowship one with another. That's good. Fellowship one with another, that's good. But I'm telling you, there is nothing that compares with a man or a woman or a teenager or a young person, child, having fellowship with God Almighty. There is nothing that compares with that. Now, what we read here in 1 John is how we can have fellowship with God. And that fellowship is the greatest any person can have. You see, when Adam sinned, the fellowship that Adam had with God was broken. And when God came to fellowship with Adam, as he had done previously, in the cool of the day, you'll remember that Adam and Eve went and hid themselves among the trees of the garden. And God called out and said, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, well, we heard you coming and we went over here and hid ourselves. Why did you hide yourself? Did you sin against me? And immediately God knew that the fellowship was broken because Adam had sinned against God. You say, well, Pastor, why in the world would Adam not want a fellowship with God? Same reason you and I don't want a fellowship with God. Sin. Sin's the problem, you see. And so when God saw that they had sinned against him, that is when God promised that he would send his only begotten son to be our redeemer, to redeem us back to God. Now you redeem something, you remember, you redeem something with a price, all right? With a price. And the price here that God set for redemption was the blood of his own son. And that's why the Lord Jesus came and went to the cross of Calvary so that he could restore the broken fellowship that came as a result of Adam's sin against God. You say, well, Pastor, I think I'll just get baptized in order to redeem myself to God. No, don't even go down that road, because no baptism died for you or shed its blood. All right, let that sink in. All right, no baptism died for you. There was no baptism that shed its blood for you. You say, well, Pastor, it doesn't have any. Bingo. Probably shouldn't say bingo in church, should you? Especially on Sunday morning. But isn't that true? You see, but yet the devil deceives folks into thinking, well, if I just get in the baptistry, then, you know, I'll be redeemed. No, you won't. No, you won't. You will go into the water as a dry sinner, and you will come out of the water as a wet sinner. That's the only thing it'll do for you. It'll get you wet. All right, now, you cannot earn your way to heaven. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I'll join the fellowship of the church. That'll get me into heaven. No, it won't. The wages of sin is what? Death, exactly right. The wages of sin is not church membership. The wages of sin is not getting baptized. You say, well, I'll just be a good person. I'll turn over a new leaf. My friend, you can turn the whole tree over if you want to, but that's not going to get you to heaven. You see, you got to have the fellowship that was broken by sin. You got to have the fellowship restored. And that's why God sent his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus, because Jesus, he who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So it's not you doing something to get you to heaven. No, it is God providing a way for you to get to heaven. And then you receive the Lord, you trust Christ to get you to heaven. So the Holy Spirit of God led John to write this little book to show us how we can have that broken fellowship renewed so that we can enjoy fellowship with him once again. I want to have fellowship with God, don't you? I want to be able to bow my head and say, Dear Heavenly Father, and know that my dear Heavenly Father is listening to me. And I have that by trusting Christ as my Savior. I want to fellowship with the Lord. I want to know that there is absolutely nothing standing between me and my God. I don't want anything standing between me and the Lord. I want it to be like God and I are two fellas in a ship. All right? We have fellowship. Now, a couple of things about fellowship. First of all, let's understand the basis of fellowship. If you'll look, please, at verse 3, we see here the basis for fellowship. He said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Now, who's he declaring? Jesus. He is declaring the Lord Jesus. That's who he's talking about in verse 1, that which was from the beginning. That's Christ, which we have heard. John spent 3.5 years listening to the message of Christ. All right, so right straight down the gospel road, he goes here. And so he says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, the Lord Jesus, declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So folks, right there is the basis for you and me to have fellowship with God. Right there it is. That's the basis. First of all, notice the basis of our fellowship is because of what God the Father has done. It's what God has done, not what you've done. That's works. And Paul said that we are saved not of works, lest any man should boast. How long have you been saved, Pastor Ray? 51 years, all right? I've been saved a whole bunch. More than that. I've been saved more than that. So since I've been saved longer than he has been saved, I could kind of puff my chest out and say, oh, yeah, 51? Well, I got 56 on you, so sorry about that, bud. See the point? You know, not of works, lest any man should boast. You have your bachelor's degree, okay? And then you earned a master's? Did you earn a master's? Or somebody gave you one? Be honest. Be honest, you're in God's house, all right? And then you earned your doctorate, right? You got an honor. Oh, I earned mine. See the point? That, aren't you glad that the ground is level at the cross? Folks, we all get in the same way. And that's through the blood of God's only begotten Son. So you can't go up to God and say, well, now, Lord, I get more of heaven because I did that. No, we all get the same amount. We all get the same amount. And it just amazes me that folks think they can merit salvation. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. You say, well, then how are you getting to heaven? I'm getting there because Jesus reached down in the pit and lifted me out and changed my life. Put a new song in my lips and a new heart in my mind, and I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm not going to heaven because of anything I did. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did. All right? So God the Father is the basis. God loved us, and he sent his Son to die for us. And sin is what breaks that fellowship with God the Father. Isn't it amazing, folks, that we do not have to teach our children to lie? They're naturally good at it. naturally good at it. You say, well, how'd they get that way? From you. Yeah, they got that way from you. You say, well, how'd I get that way? From your mom and dad. Well, how'd they get that way? From their mom and dad. And folks, you can take that thing all the way. How many folks have looked up your genealogy and you found out you got some characters back in, huh? Yeah. Yeah. You guys know, you ever heard of the name John Brown? Connected to the Civil War and all that stuff? Yeah, a distant relative. Yeah. Distant relative. Yeah, that's, wow. You're laughing a little too much back there. All right, so we all have that in our past because we're all sinners. And you can take that and go all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. That's where it started. You say, well, you just wait till I get to heaven and have a little talk with Adam. Well, I remind you that when you get to heaven, you're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When you get up to heaven, you're not going to fuss with him. All right? You're going to rejoice in Jesus, but you're not going to fuss at Adam. But we're all sinners, folks. That's just how the mop flops. I mean, we don't have to learn to sin. We know how to sin. We don't have to have a tutorial before we go to school on how to cheat. No, we know how to cheat. There is no need for training classes on how to hate or how to gossip or how to deceive. We don't have to have training classes on that. One lady said, I don't gossip. It's the people I tell things to. They're the ones that gossip. All right? Yeah. Yeah. You see, what we have to do is train our children to do right. Of course we do. And God's love provided us a way to have renewed fellowship with God Almighty. You see, folks, God did not have to provide Adam with a way to restore the fellowship that had been broken. Didn't have to do that, but he did. He did. And you know, that same God wants to renew and restore fellowship with each and every one of us in this room this morning. He wants you to be in fellowship with him. But you're not going to get that through a church. I'm sorry, you're just not. No church died for you. It didn't. No church shed its blood for you. There's only one, and that's the Lord Jesus. The second basis for our fellowship is what Christ has done. That's what he says in this verse. He said, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Look down at verse 7. He said that we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Man, I like that. All sin. It cleanses us from all sin. God the Father sent God the Son to restore our fellowship, to restore fellowship with him. You know that famous verse that everybody has memorized, probably everybody in this room has it memorized, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, in other words, go to spend eternity in hell, but have everlasting life. John says in verse 7, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You see, everyone is generically fine with speaking of God. You know, everybody generically is fine with speaking about God. But let me tell you something. You start mentioning Jesus and folks get uncomfortable. I've told you all before, when I first came here 30 years ago, Senator Haynes would have me down to pray for the opening of the Senate, of the Maryland Senate. Nancy Stocksdale would have me down to pray for the opening of the House of Delegates. And they would send me a letter before I went, and it would say, please do not use offensive terminology. And I thought, well, now what in the world's offensive terminology when you're praying? You know, I don't curse while I'm praying. I curse at other times. No, I'm just seeing if you're awake. Just making sure you're awake. And some of you aren't. Now, those who aren't are going to go, do you know that preacher cusses all the time? No, he doesn't. No, it's not what I was saying. And so I read down the list, and basically what that list said, that I was not supposed to say anything about Jesus. That's offensive. And I thought, Lord, did you know that your name was offensive? I mean, really? And so I'm telling you, folks, the only way I know how to pray is in Jesus' name. That's the only way I know how to pray. And so I get down there, and the sergeant of arms lowers his glasses and looks at me and says, did you get that letter? I said, yeah. Did you send it personally? Well, my office did. I said, oh. He said, we'd appreciate it if you wouldn't. I said, what, say Jesus? Yes, yes, yes. Say Jesus. So I just got up there and I prayed like I would normally pray, like I pray here. And I reminded those people that they all are in their positions of leadership ordained of God. Government is ordained of God. And therefore, being ordained of God, they have a high responsibility to follow the law of God. Well, that kind of got a little bit of movement going. And then I said, give us the strength and the character to obey what thus saith the Lord. And I heard a drawer slam. I thought, well, that was unusual. And I said, and Lord Jesus, speak, bang, bang, bang. They're banging on their desk so I could not be heard. I said, what'd you do? Cranked it up a notch. That's what I did. I just got louder. So they're out there banging on their desks and slamming drawers, and I'm up there preaching to 10,000 people. Yes, indeed. And funny thing is, after Larry got out, Senator Haynes got out of the Senate, I didn't get any invitations anymore. And once Miss Nancy retired from the House of Delegates, I didn't get any invitations there. I guess if I can't behave in their minds, they'll just not have me. Now, if all I said was God, they'd been fine with that. You can generically speak of God. That does not bring conviction to anybody. That doesn't move anybody. But you start mentioning the Lord Jesus Christ, and boy, you've done, in their minds, you've done split your britches. They did not like that at all. But Larry would say, hey, you gonna come back and pray? Yeah. I will if you ask me. I'll ask you. I said, what about that letter that the sergeant of arms sends me? He goes, I don't pay no attention to that. And I never did pay any attention to it. But once Larry was gone, that was it. Let me show you something. Take your Bible, please, and turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And let me show you where the rub is. All right? This is where the friction is created right here. Look, please, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Verse 4, 5, and 6. Look at it, please. Verse 4. Who will have all men, all right, so this is, go back to verse 3, sorry. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. It's God's will, all right, you see that? Who will, it's God's will for you to be saved. All right. He said, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So what's he saying here? Look at it. Verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man who? Right there's the rub. You see, there's one God. How many gods? One. But there's only one way to get to God. And that's through the Lord Jesus. So naturally, the world does not want you mentioning the Lord Jesus. Because by mentioning the Lord Jesus, what you are saying is, church can't get you to heaven. Baptism can't get you to heaven. The sacraments can't get you to heaven. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you how it is. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. If you're going to get to God, you have to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you see that. All right, so that's the basis. I got two more points and no more time. One God and one mediator. You see, the only way any man can know God the Father is by trusting God's Son, who is our mediator. Now, folks, listen, I'm not trying to be divisive. I'm not trying to be offensive, but there is only one way to know the God of the Bible, and that is through His only begotten Son. Folks, if you think that there's another way, then why, if there's another way, why would God have allowed his son to die and bleed on Calvary's cross until he was dead? Doesn't that make sense? I only have one son. I only have one. I only have one son, all right? But if he was out in the parking lot and I heard him yelling and calling for me and I listened and I could tell that he was in trouble, in need, I'm going to tell you right now, all the king's horses and all the king's men could not keep me from going out there. And I would give my life if he was in trouble. And that's the way it is with my girls too. Well, one of them. I'm joking again. You see the point, folks? And yet God gave his only begotten son. and turned his back so he, as the darkness fell, so as not to look upon him when he became sin for us. Wow. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. He didn't. He stayed on that cross for you and for me, paying redemption's price. The wages of sin is death. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and no one looking around for just a moment. Father in heaven, you know our need today, and I pray that you will meet the needs of our hearts. Father, you know every person in this room. You know every person, the heart of every person who is sitting here. And you know the heart of every person who is watching online and listening. Father, you know every single one of us. And I pray that you will speak to our hearts today and help us to see our need of trusting in the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So, Father, I ask you to touch our hearts this morning with your word. And if there's someone here today who is not sure they're going to heaven, I pray that today you'll draw that person to your side. Speak to our hearts now. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to ask you two personal questions. First of all, how many of you will say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know it. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven? You say, Preacher, I know. And you lift your hand and say, I know that I'm saved. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. God bless all of you. Thank you. Now, there were some hands that were not raised. And so if you could not raise your hand just a second ago to say you know you're saved, would you raise your hand right now to indicate to me, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure, but I know that I need to be saved. I know I want to go to heaven, and I know that the only way I can get there is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Preacher, I could not raise my hand with everybody else, but I'll raise it right now. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you? Yes, thank you. God bless you. Let me put your hand down. Are there others? Pastor, I'm just not 100% sure. Pray for me. Anybody else? All right, Father in heaven, you know our hearts today, and I pray that you will speak to hearts and help folks to understand and realize what your son did when he came 2,000 years ago to die on Calvary's cross. Father, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to your mercy that you have saved us. And so I pray for these who raise their hand, ask you to draw them to your side. And Father, I pray that they'll understand how they need to just trust in your grace and your goodness. And so save souls today. Father, we thank you for your word and ask you to bless it in a great way. In Jesus' name, amen.